Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone alongside Carissa Cruz, President and CEO of The Wine Growers. We're here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine.
It is all those things.
And gummies.
And gummies. Gummy Skittles.
Not that kind of gummies.
Not the other gummies. I know, I was realizing that like 5 years ago, you could say gummies and everyone would know we were obviously talking about the candy gummies that are just full of sugar and not anything else. But now you say gummies and you can go in all sorts of directions.
Yeah, we're not trying to hallucinate right now.
No. We're trying to talk about all things.
At least not everyone in the studio.
Farming, ag, wine, all the above.
Yeah, and these are sort of the opposite of that. No farming went into the making of these products, but that's okay.
Yes, I agree. I am putting on my headset. So, off to a great start. Anyway,
it's December.
It is December.
We're already...
in between holidays.
Yep, thinking about time off and...
yeah.
And Christmas movies.
Skittles. Gummies.
Christmas
which
Skittles.
Which are delicious.
Yes.
Anyway, speaking of the holidays, which are all about family.
True.
What are you going to do?
Oh, you know what? To be
you
determined.
You weren't expecting that.
I was not expecting that. To be determined.
Oh, TBD, okay.
You know, an important part of my family, my son, is may have to work, so might be traveling.
The world just got real for him in college.
It's so true. Yeah, I know. Exactly. So, yeah, he's got, he may have to, I may be heading down south.
Yeah, well, I like that.
Traveling
that's all right.
Christmas, which is kind of fun, too.
Well, we know the holidays are times for families, and we have an exciting second annual tradition at the Wine Growers that we're doing celebrating families next week.
Okay, tell me more.
Oh,
I mean,
thanks for asking.
Gonna leave it at that.
No, thanks for asking. Yes. So last year we started a program called our Century Club, really recognizing that there were so many farming families here that had literally been farming for 100 plus years, currently growing wine grapes, but historically may have farmed apples or prunes, pears, vegetables, dairy, and have evolved into wine grapes. Some families, I think we had one that has consistently farmed wine grapes for over 100 years.
That's crazy.
I know, which is crazy. So last year we kind of did a call out to the wine growing community and said, have any of your families been here farming for 100 plus years? And we learned about 22 families. So we brought them together, honored them. We made Century Club signs that they can proudly display at their ranches, offices, farms. They get a little pin, almost like a psalm pin that they can wear proudly. And they got a resolution from Congressman Thompson as well for their family honoring their 100 plus years of farming. So it was really fun. We honored 22 families last year, which is a lot.
It is a lot.
And we
missed
them.
They were almost all there.
They were all there. All 22 families had representatives show up. And in some cases, we had three generations sitting at the same table, which
is
so cool. Really, really cool. Kind of puts an exclamation point on what makes Sonoma County so special. And this year, we had missed some of the families. We have some new families. So on the 11th, so next week, we are inducting, quote unquote, 11 additional families into the Century Club.
Huge, huge, huge honor.
I know. Isn't that super fun? And you've been featuring some of them in your Good Stuff columns that you write on a weekly basis. So it's been kind of fun to deep dive into these different stories.
Now I have 11 new subjects.
You're going to have a whole, I know. I don't even know if you got through the first 22. So you got plenty of writing to do for the next, 5 years. So
okay.
You're all set.
That's good news. We're going to take a break. We will come back and introduce another family. Joining us on today's Good Stuff, in the studio we have Karen and Justin Warnelius Miller, proprietors, winemakers, wine growers at Garden Creek Ranch Vineyards and Winery in Alexander Valley. And wow, that's a lot of titles. So welcome. Welcome. You have to tell us all about those
things. I think
things
that means
that
they do it all.
That's my takeaway.
They do it all.
Like so many people in Sonoma County, you do it all. So welcome. Yeah. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having us, Virginie.
Okay. Well, there's a lot to get into. So you both, I know, Justin, you grew up in Sonoma County, Karen almost, but let's start with Justin. Like, tell us a little bit about growing up in Sonoma County and your family.
Boy, thank you very much for having us in here this morning. Born and raised in Alexander Valley, good old Geyserville. I don't know really where to start with that.
Are you second generation?
I would be second generation. My father moved up in 1962, bought the ranch, and prune orchards, cattle.
Moved up from where?
Yeah.
Where were
Southern California, okay. Pasadena, getting away from the craziness from SoCal.
But you are seventh generation Californian, second generation.
Yeah.
Wine grower.
So he's got old roots here.
Was he doing agriculture in Pasadena before it got all built up?
My grandfather, who I never met, was a landscape architect and had a small nursery down in Pasadena. So my father grew up tending and starting plants and working underneath his father doing landscape, you know, design and what have you. So he always had a green thumb.
Mm-hmm.
And when his parents passed away, he and his sister sold the family house and paid off any of the debt and took that. Bought this beautiful ranch that we are raising our family, third generation, on today up here in Sonoma County in Geyserville, Alexander Valley.
How did he even, like, what brought him here?
Yeah.
Like, what had he looked all over the place to sort of figure out what he wanted to do, or what was it about?
A dot on a map.
Alexander Valley. I know, did he just drive until the truck ran out of gas?
You know, so he went to Berkeley back in the day when it was a free education there, was studying landscape architecture, bought a little house up in Tilden Park, turned that into a little triplex, and rented that out. Traveled for a year and a half all through Asia and came back and knew that he wanted to set his roots down in a piece of dirt somewhere in Northern California. And yeah, fell in love with Hillsburg, Geyserville, and found an amazing little piece of property up on Geysers Road in the corner of Alexander Valley, just below the Myocon.
In 1962, range. You said, right? So, like, I mean, Healdsburg, very different.
Very different place.
Yeah. Okay, so we need to get into the whole wine grape side of things for that. But Karen, you step in, and because your family took a little bit more of a circuitous route to Sonoma County.
Well, yeah, I actually have grown up here. I came here when I was 4 years old to Sonoma County. And yes, we immigrated from Sweden, 2 hours south of Stockholm is where my family still continues to live today. My uncle dated our history back in Sweden, which is quite easy to do via the church, and we have very distinct history back to 900 with my family in the same area. My dad's one of nine children, and he's the only one that had the real Viking in him to explore the world, and he very much is that, other than the slaying part. But But he's an old farmer, and he'd come to America when he was in 18, 19 as an exchange student. And
18, 19 as an exchange student?
At 18 to 19 years old.
18, 19, I was like,
it's my Swedish that comes out. That's how we speak.
I was 18, 19,
come on,
yeah.
Keep up, Carissa.
I know.
So anyhow, he came over in the 50s, and the crazy part is, you know, back in those days, there was not any efficient way to buy a ticket, nor was it affordable by any means, especially being one of nine kids. And they were old-time farmers. We had a big dairy and over 800 acres of row crops, a big lake for fishing, crayfish, actually, a huge commodity in Sweden. And so my dad said to his parents, I want to go to America and study agriculture. And agronomy, and they said, go for it.
They weren't like, it's all right here.
No,
why are you leaving?
No, he wanted
There's
to learn from outside of Sweden. And so he happened to go to school. Well, he went to school down in southern Sweden at a very prestigious agrarian school, and he became really best friends with Göran, a young man whose uncle happened to be a freight line captain.
Oh, wow.
And they literally hopped on the boat for 3 weeks, got a free ride over to New York, and then trained it out to Iowa, where they were on a farm together learning, and then bought I think it was a Buick or something, old and big, and bought a car, and then came out to California to work in Lodi at a gentleman's farm named Carter. They all had Swedish descent, but anyhow, my dad just fell head over heels with this incredible land of freedom, opportunity, and you could do what you want. So
I just think about today how planned we are. Like, if we're going to do a trip, you've got, like, I mean,
yeah.
Where they're like, oh, they hopped a ship, They landed in New York. They headed to Iowa. Decided to get a car.
Yeah, well,
that was
and,
helpful.
Yeah, no maps.
You know, and like, knowing I'm you like, could do it, although I don't think it's normal. My dad is nowhere near normal.
I can barely pack like a long weekend without stressing, and I'm like, you know, what?
That's
I always just also awe of those stories.
Yeah. So then my family came over. There was a little fight in my, as there tend to be in families. Let's all just admit that. And my dad wanted to buy the farm for my grandfather, but he had six other brothers and two sisters. And anyhow, that's another interview. But, he wasn't able to buy the old family farm. And he said, let's go, Monica, my mother. And we were all young kids. My brother was 10. My older sister was 8. And I have a twin sister. We were 4 years old. And we came over to America with nothing but lots of willpower.
Right.
Wow. And so we went back to Carter's place in Lodi. And then long of the short is that Justin's mother is also Swede. Justin's mother came over to the U.S. when she was 17 and studied at Stanford and met Justin's dad. And she had posted a job posting at the Swedish consulate for somebody to help out at Garden Creek Ranch. So we were going to the Swedish consulate for advice on our immigration papers and green card. And the consulate did not give us much clarity, but my parents vividly remember turning around and seeing Alexander Valley, Sonoma County, Garden Creek Ranch.
Wow.
And they called. So sorry.
That's amazing.
So that's how we got up to Sonoma County.
Do you remember, I mean, you were four, like you still...
Barely. I remember, you know when you remember airplanes and big skies? I remember living in Alexander Valley and how profound it was. We moved into one of the houses that exist on the property today. I'm just saying exists because we lost half the property with the fires.
Yeah.
But no, and my dear handsome husband was in his mom's belly, so we joked.
Oh, dear.
When fights come to play, I was the first one on the ranch.
Yeah,
so
yeah, but no, we've known each other a long time. Our moms became
the best of friends.
You're lucky
that you stay there.
No, exactly.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
I'm lucky he let me move in. So we have very deep, rich history. And I, you know, when I speak about, like, we do, you know, this isn't my first interview. So when we speak about who we are and, you know, you have to, my husband and I have the Scandinavian heritage together that's incredibly important to us. And it's very much... Everything we do is a reflection of the Scandinavian heritage and what we were brought up with, but simply ideals in like purity and simplicity and taking care of nature and being who you are. And there's nothing, there's no facade here.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, I did have a personal girl. When I was a young girl, I knew that, one, I had to marry a farmer.
Aww.
He had to have nice big hands like my daddy. And also, he had to be a Swede. So I had a 50% was my lowest.
Oh my God. That's hilarious.
And I'm not kidding. That's how what I'm coming back to, like, being very proud of who you are.
Yeah.
I wanted my children, our children now, to be Swedish.
I'm rooted in that.
Mm. Yeah. And there's something about your heritage that's really important. So anyways, I feel very, very Californian and very Sonoma County and very much a Geyservillian, if you will go there, and proud of it, but also incredibly proud to be a Swede.
Well, let's go back to, you know, your parents seeing this ad and the garden. So where does the name Garden Creek come from? Is that something your parents named it, or was it known historically as that?
It's actually the name of the creek that comes off our property.
Uh-huh. I love it.
So it's just so
creative, like
these
farmers.
Yeah. There's, I mean, I can't really give you much history behind it, but it's been called Garden Creek ever since I've been.
But Justin's dad named it, and I will say, you know, we speak about our wines a lot, and if you think about the old world and how places were named, it's from pieces of the land.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so naming our property Garden Creek is very historical, actually.
Yeah,
and symbolic. And yes, actually quite simple. And Justin's dad named it Garden Creek Ranch because the beautiful creek that runs down through our property, it's actually a small tributary that goes into Gird Creek. Gird Creek goes into Russian River.
Yeah.
But back in the day, he always spoke about freshwater salmon climbing up Garden Creek. And literally, they would hear the flapping in the creek, right?
Yeah, in the middle of the night.
Wow.
And then he'd say, Bitte, to his beautiful Swedish wife, go get some dinner. And then they would catch these
old
big,
school,
beautiful fish. I don't know if some of that was a little bit of blown up, but anyhow, Garden Creek is significant to who we are, meaning
absolutely,
the place in the creek.
Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit more about the early days of growing wine grapes. Is that how things started? Were you growing other things? I mean, the early 60s in Alexander Valley, who else was even around?
Predominantly prunes, mm-hmm, the whole valley. And so we had about 40 acres of prunes. We had some walnuts out on that one piece of property as well. And then cattle. So it was all kind of pasture land. And it wasn't until, you share the history better, but early 60s, and they planted a little bit of Cabernet Sauvignon up on what we call our home ranch. And that was kind of the beginning, mm-hmm, of wine growing and the end of prunes. And yeah, that was...
That's still early in the transition,
yeah,
though.
Yeah.
Very early.
Yeah.
Yeah. So to back up to Justin's dad serendipitously met the old timers in the valley. He was a very good businessman. And, you know, when you buy land and property, you got to get to know your neighbors and,
yeah,
your community. So he met the Goods, he met the Murphys, he met Bob Young, who Young at that time in 63, if you remember, that year is the year that they went headstrong into planting Cabernet Sauvignon,
right,
and changing the commodity on their property. Mm-hmm. So our 54 acres, the original Garden Creek Upper Ranch is what we call it, we purchased from Bob Young. And in many ways, you know, we always talk about this connectedness, mm-hmm, where Justin's dad bought the property and essentially, you know, back in the day, it wasn't easy to get loans and, mm-hmm, you couldn't just leverage your land. And he, he bought the property from Bob, and that allowed Bob to push hard into planting wine grapes. And then 6 years later, we also planted our first Cabernet Sauvignon vineyard hillside in 1969.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So were your families at that point like partners? Were they, what was that sort of relationship like?
No, we weren't partners. My family stayed lived at Garden Creek for about 5 months. And again, serendipitously, as things happen, a very close friend of Jim and Bitte was an immigration lawyer, and the best advice he gave our family was, if you want to get your green card, and it's as difficult as, it was very difficult in the 60s and 70s, I don't think it was ever easy, but he said, you don't want to take a job away from an American, which is the same today, and my dad is not good at being told what to do by anyone, I will admit. But he's also got that, you know, you're an entrepreneur and you want to lead. And I certainly got that from him too. But we bought 20 acres of an old head pruned Italian field blend up off of Chianti Road. Mm-hmm. It was called Rich Ranch Road. I think it still is, actually. It's called Rich Ranch Road up where the old Segacio property. Mm-hmm. So I knew when growing up Pete Segacio, Ricards, Jim,
yeah,
Ricards,
oh,
was,
yeah,
a very close, it's friend, sweet man. Yeah. The Leiths were very close friends. It was a 2-mile dirt road that,
fantastic,
we purchased.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We will come right back on the good stuff.
Okay.
Today, Karen, Justin, Warren, Elias Miller, proprietors, winemakers, wine growers at Garden Creek Ranch Vineyards and Winery in Alexander Valley. And so, Karen, you were telling us a little bit about, you know, your family's piece of property, kind of on the other side of Highway 101, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
On the western side.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
north of Geyserville.
And did they plant wine grapes? Were there wine grapes there?
No, so it was a 20, it was an old original head prune Italian field blend full of.
Ah, that's right. Okay. So near the near where Rickards is.
Yeah. Yeah. So we bought that, and then we built a little cabin for our family. I won't tell you all the details, but just because it was 70s and you lived very simply. And it was, yeah, it was a wonderful way to grow up. But so we actually have a similar story to Mr. Jess Jackson, where we had a contract with Gallo Fry Brothers. We all did back in those days, mm-hmm. delivering fruit. Mm-hmm. And my brother was 16, and my dad said, get this fruit over on the other side of the valley. And it was a cold year. And back in those days, we didn't look at much other than sugar. Mm-hmm. And the sugars were sitting at about 23.5, and we all knew it. But they needed to fill a tank, so they told us to bring in the fruit, and it was refused. And that happened to Jess, if you know that mm-hmm. story, with Fetzer. And my dad got quite mad, equally to him coming to the United States of America, and he said, well, now's the time to start making wine professionally. He was going to, but we all sometimes get pushed into things yeah. that maybe we aren't quite ready for, but mentally, we were.
Wait,
that
last piece of inspiration right yeah. there.
Right, right. Well, you can't let it go to waste.
And, exactly.
You know, we're all, you know, even in these days that, I mean, we live very well today, right? Everything's, mm-hmm. for the most part, we're fine. But you also, I feel like what Justin and I do on a daily basis is if things need to go in a different direction, you got to push hard into that direction. Don't be afraid of it, and don't be afraid of change. Yep. And so my family started making mine, and our first vintage was a 1980 Wornelius Vineyards red wine. We, of course, we had a Viking ship on the label, which Justin and I resurrected on a new label we created in 2018, actually. Released it last year. But and then our ranch was called Viking Ranch, of course. So.
Okay.
But yeah, so I've been making wine since I was 6-7 years old.
Oh my gosh.
Alongside Justin. And then my parents divorced when I was 15, but my dad went back to Sweden and started one of Sweden's first wineries as well.
Okay.
So.
Wow, took that knowledge back there. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, that was 1989 he went back, so.
Okay.
Yeah,
so Carissa in particular would like to know a little bit about how
you guys actually ended up together.
I mean, you knew each other as kids, your families knew each other, the mothers were friends.
Best friends.
So that can be good or bad for your future.
So I feel like when you're young, I'm picturing you, Justin, like chasing her around, like pulling on hair, you know, like, and you know, doing those things when you're kids that like I have a crush on you, but I'm just gonna be annoying.
Well, absolutely. 4 years older than me.
Right.
You know, it's like
following around.
But yeah. Older, beautiful, smarter, you know, always looked up to Karen when we were young kids, doing family events and whatnot. Skied together. Took your VW bug to Tahoe in the wintertime when she could drive and I couldn't.
Wow. So that made it up over the past pretty easily.
Yeah.
No problem.
Who needs four-wheel drive?
Yeah. I know.
Back in the days of big thick chains.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. Right, so, exactly. Yeah.
No, I'm a Swede, remember.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
So when did things turn?
Well, when did they turn, honey?
Kids.
Like, who's going to tell this story?
I went to college in San Francisco, and I wanted to work for a winery, and the only one I could find was owned by Mr. Jean-Charles Boisset, USA, down
really?
In South of Market.
Oh, wow.
Very scary neighborhood, actually.
and
I worked there for 4 years.
Before he came up here?
I met John Charles when he first came to the United States, and he was going to lead Boisset USA. And I was 21, and he was 22.
Wow.
It was amazing times.
Yeah.
No.
That's like a throwback.
He's an incredible man. we also, I feel like it was great, like pushing each other. But anyhow, so I was done there, and my parents had let go of our, we'd sold our ranch up here, and I didn't have a home to go home to other than Sweden. And then my mom was in the Bay Area. So I interviewed with Gallo to get a sales position in Stockholm. And then I also interviewed with Mick Unti. Mm-hmm. He was working with Kendall Jackson to do sales in Sonoma County.
Hmm. I didn't know
so,
that.
So, oh. Guess what happened? I needed something. A place to live. so, and I didn't want any roommates anymore because you know how they are.
so reached out to Justin.
I knocked on Justin's door. Actually, I called his mom, and then we went over there together, and we hadn't
seen each
other.
So my mom and your mom and you hopping around the valley in an old Jeep showed up at the ranch. It was in the middle of harvest. I hadn't showered or done anything in days, you know, wearing the same boots, pants, shirt, the whole nine yards. Yeah. Sitting on the back porch, and all of a sudden, Karen peers around the corner, and I'm just Google-eyed, like, oh my God, it's been how many years since we've seen each other? It was a while.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And
it was instant.
Yeah. Instant.
Magnetism.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we were like, oh, what's happening? So then he agrees to, he's like, I don't have it because we have a bunch of rentals on the ranch. But he said, all the rentals are full, and I have a bedroom in my house, if you're interested. It's just a storage room.
Of course.
Whatever. Bachelor pad.
So then he agrees to that. And then I call him a month later. He's like, what room? I'm like, no, that is not how I deal with things. So I said, I was working for KJ then. I'm like, pick me up at 5. I'll go. He was delivering fruit over in Sonoma. I'm like, this is not how I do business. We are going to shake on this, and you are going to remember what we talked about.
So we hop in the old Peterbilt. We run all the way down to Sonoma, unload, forklift break. So we had a hand load, 30 macro bins on a set of doubles, and a couple old timers down there. Dave Homewood, does that ring a bell back in the day? Anyways, he was buying cap from us. But so we get down there, and a bunch of these old guys are pushing bins down the driveway and throwing them up on the truck. And next thing I look over, and Karen's throwing straps over the bins on the truck. And these old guys look at me, and they're like, where did you find her? And I'm like, I just picked her up on the side of the road coming down here.
She insisted.
I was hungry. I worked all day. It was almost 7 o'clock. I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah, just get this done.
Yeah, I grew up driving tractors. I grew up doing everything, and
I was sold.
Okay, so the old-timers like, hurry up. Like, Justin, what's wrong with you? Excellent insight.
No.
And that was that. I mean, what year was that?
98.
When you, okay. And that was, I mean, and then you've been at Garden Creek ever since? Like,
pretty much.
Simple as that?
Yeah. So you moved into the extra room.
The extra
and
bedroom.
Didn't move out.
So I do say to our guests when they come to visit, I never paid rent, and I never moved out. So, no, we fell madly in love, and then we actually made a barrel of wine, but needless to say, it turned to vinegar because we didn't pay attention to that first barrel.
You were too busy falling in love.
We knew we wanted to, you know, the next generation should push harder, as I think is quite natural, and we had enough experience between the two of us to do it our way. And at the same time, Justin took over the ranch when he was 19. So we were already like pushing initiatives on our property for the long term. And we started making wine professionally together. We started making wine out of the old horse and cattle barn we converted in 2001 was our very first vintage.
Okay.
Beautiful spot.
Yeah. We are going to take another quick break. We will come back and talk a little bit more about the wines that you make here on The Good Stuff. Justin Wernelius Miller, Garden Creek Vineyards. Let's talk a little bit about what you created. So you decide to be together, and then, I mean, everything
she never
is
moved
possible.
Out,
everything
is
possible,
wine,
right?
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about the business that you've built over all these years.
So we knew, one, we were going to do something a little bit different than our parents did. And together, we've been wine growing all of our lives, and we understand land, we understand vineyards, we understand microclimates. And I will say, the man sitting next to me stops at nothing. He loves pushing it, which is why he's also a hang glider and paraglider pilot, loves to fly without an engine. But so anyhow, we first were very focused on crafting a very traditional left bank Bordeaux blend, Cabernet based. We've named it our Tesserae, Garden Creek Tesserae. Proprietary name for that 75% rule in California, so we could have leeway on the creativity as we all do. But the big thing with our wines, and then our second wine is Chardonnay, what we call our clonal selection, which in many ways in our minds is also a blend because we grow 11 different clones of Chardonnay, which mm-hmm. is really tremendous and amazing, creatively speaking. But so what we also knew what we wanted to do, Justin and I, we love where we live and we are always home, I have to say. But when we travel, we travel and we travel hard.
It's on or off.
It's on or off.
It's on or off.
Well, it has to be sometimes. But you kind of do it without thinking of it. Like, where do you want to go? Well, there. So anyways, we've traveled the world and knocked on doors and sat with winemakers and not understood each other one bit, but we communicated between that wine.
The glasses, yeah.
And there's nothing more thrilling. I mean, we've been to Africa and we've been all over Europe. And so anyhow, we knew we wanted to make serious wines that would age for a very long time. And our Tesserae, our Garden Creek Cabernet Sauvignon, 30 plus years without question. We also do not release our wines mm-hmm. until in our minds. There's a lot to in terms of how and why we do things, but there's also, as much as we have this respect to each other and our craft and our land, you also have to have a lot of respect for the wine. Mm-hmm. And that means that you don't release it until it's ready to be released. And that's something that we've always believed in. So today, our current vintage, which actually carries a new label, we created new labels after our 25th vintage of wine. Anyhow, our current vintage today is the 2018, which will just released, and it's going to be the vintage for next year.
Incredible.
And then the Chardonnay is a 2021. They're very bright and you know, the thing with wine, we are in the wine business, but the thing we share with guests is how you understand a wine is the life of it and where it's at is the freshness and the acidity and the lifting and the weight and the texture. And you know, we're very careful in every single element we touch. And this man runs the vineyards. And you know what? We have 72 acres planted at Garden Creek. We've got 22 acres of Cabernet Sauvignon. Cabernet Sauvignon's got 9 very different soil types, which is insane.
It is insane.
Yeah, that is
so insane. So that's what we're chasing in our wines, is all the textures.
And I've been there. It's a pretty magical place.
It is a magical place.
It's beautiful, crazy, magical.
Yeah. Well,
tell us a little bit about how people can experience it, though, because you have you're there. I mean, every time I've come to visit and
unless they're going hard on travel.
Well, unless they're hang gliding or in Africa. But people can come visit, but it's a 90-minute experience, yes?
Yeah, we're very private. By appointment, and we are word of mouth and by referral, actually. Okay. We are only open 3 days a week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and possibly Saturday if we feel like
it. If the mood strikes. Yeah.
No, where our ranch is our home, as you've seen many times when you've come to visit, Virginie.
Yeah.
But our tastings are 90 minutes to 2 hours, hosted personally by Justin and I. So you will hear all these stories you're hearing today and more. We have a lot to share, and there's a lot of intimacy that we share our souls, basically, when people come to visit, because that's what it's about.
Yeah, and that's what we love to experience when we travel too. Mm-hmm. And so it's the exact same thing we try and give back to people, is that personal touch. Yeah. But talk about soils, cover crops, growing the vines, what we do season, you know, from the beginning of the season to the end of the season, and how that correlates into the wines that we produce and all the different lots. And, you know, you take people out. Sometimes they're dressed in nice shoes and high heels, and you grab a shovel and we dig some holes and we explain to them why we do what we do in the vineyard.
I love
and,
that.
You know, the flavors that they can correlate back into the wine.
A wine is much more than what you taste directly out of a bottle. To understand it and to appreciate it, it's actually from the moment it started budding out and that whole story. We were actually, we sell fruit to John. We sell about 60% of our fruit to other very talented winemakers, John Raytek being one of them, with Ceritas. And we were just talking about the state of affairs. And, yeah. And you know, the thing about wine is that it's the story of having... It's the story of the vintage that makes the wine what it is. Just like what you were talking about, it's the triumphs, but also the tribulations that makes us who we are. Mm-hmm. So
we'll take another quick break. We'll come right back to wrap things up on the good stuff. We are here to wrap things up on today's Good Stuff with Karen Wornelius Miller and Justin Wornelius Miller of Garden Creek Vineyards. For more information on how to visit, about their wines, visit GardenCreekVineyards.com. And now we'll talk about Tuesday night.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely been mouthwatering over here because I've been eyeing the Garden Creek Chardonnay, current release 2021.
Yes.
Yeah, so they don't know this yet, but I'm taking this bottle home and drinking it on Tuesday night. So
okay, I think they know now.
They do, because it's in my lap.
You're gripping it pretty fiercely.
Yeah, I mean, if I like put my fingerprints all over it, really can't go to anyone else, right?
No letting go.
You'd have to really clean that up. So.
No. Okay, well, I'm going to play your game, and I'm going to go Garden Creek as well. I'm not going to grab it as aggressively, but I'm going to take home the Tesserae 2018 Estate Red Wine, a wine I've been lucky to taste over the years with both of you and hear the story of. So pretty cool to hold a wine that long.
I mean,
nobody does that. Yeah. And so kudos for the patience that you are teaching us all.
Thank you. Chardonnay at 21. I know. So much patience, and then we're going to rip the cork on a Tuesday night because you're supposed to not save
wine. Well, they did all the waiting.
Once it's ready.
You're supposed to drink it.
Once it's ready, you're supposed to drink it.
They did all the waiting for us.
They did.
So,
excellent.
All right, your turn. So you can pick one because you're going to share it, I presume.
We assume you'll be together.
Mm-hmm. In the room. Yeah.
We do like drinking good wines, and I always go into our little cellar, and I think this tonight we'll pull out a Ceritas. Back to Ceritas. They're unbelievable. Sonoma Coast Heinz Chardonnay is going to go with the stir fry tonight.
Okay. I mean, we're not quite that far planned out. We just planned the
hang up.
It's okay if it's leftovers. Come on, baby.
I was going to say, it goes by itself. It goes with food.
Yeah.
Either way.
Sure.
Yeah.
Totally fine.
All right. Anything's coming up in the new year for the ranch, for your wines? Will you have new releases coming? I mean, new old releases coming anytime soon? Or?
We just released the 2018 Garden Creek Tesserae Cabernet Sauvignon. Next year is our 25th anniversary in winemaking.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you.
It
means we've been together a long time, 28 years. Other than that, we'll have private dinners on the property. And we just got into Blackberry Farm in Tennessee, so we'll be doing an event there.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to taste a vale. And it's all very tied into the celebration of wine making and wine growing.
And our history and our parents.
And you mentioned in one of the breaks the third generation is coming along and can't wait to get in there. So tell us a little bit about her.
Absolutely. Well, our amazing daughter, Elsa Wornelius Miller, studying basically winemaking and wine business down in Cal Poly, San Luis Obispo.
Yep.
And she loves it second year. So...
Yeah,
we can't wait to have her back on the team and see where she's going to pitch in and find her groove.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah.
That
is, she's grown up in the winery, grown up in the dirt, much like her mother and I. and has no fear with any of it. Loves it all.
So I'm not surprised by that.
That's what you need.
Yeah. With the two of you as parents, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, the genetics have
they
dig deep. They dig deep. Well, we want to thank you both for joining us today. GardenCreekVineyards.com for more information, and from Sonoma County to wherever you are, remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that.